Rapunzel Episode 2, Kidnapping. Performed by the Aubrey Wodonga Theatre Company Play Reading Group. Scripts by Philip Craig Robotham. Starring, in order of appearance, the voice talents of Mick McGlone as the narrator, the witch's garden statue, soldier, and the wolf. Justin Bryce as Gustav the Hunter. Adam Rowland as Hans, the soldier, and Prince Franz. Georgina Crutch as Gertrude and the present woman. Ken Pullen as the other witch's statue, the charlatan, and the king. Jenny Cartledge as the witch Esmeralda, the herald, the maid, grandmother, and Princess Hildy. Kaz Hicks as the midwife, the chancellor, the doctor, and Rapunzel. Caitlin Price as the baby. Ash Justin as the castle guard, the officer, Herman and the cat. Jack Robotham as the little boy. Emily Barnes as Mario. Alice Barnes as Gertie. Funeral crowd, castle crowd, and Wolfpack were performed by the company. Once upon a time, that's how these stories usually begin, isn't it? And this story is no exception. The poor hunter Gustav is waiting the birth of his first child with far more dread than most expectant fathers. His next door neighbour, the witch Esmeralda, forced him into offering her his newborn in exchange for his life over an altercation concerning some vegetables some 6 weeks earlier. He had hoped that making the deal would buy him some time in order to find another way out. But time is running short, and he's growing desperate to find a way to prevent the witch from coming to collect. On the day we rejoin the story, Gustav is being visited by a local phrenologist, while his wife Gertrude is at market.
There you are, Gustav. The leg seems to be coming along just fine. I doubt you'll ever walk without a limp again, though. How long has it been?
6 weeks.
Ah, well, the damage was simply too great. I'd like to tell you otherwise, but that makes it certain. You'll definitely be left with a limp. If only you'd called me in sooner.
Gertrude insisted I see a real doctor first. No offense.
None taken. Lots of people are suspicious of phrenologists. They just don't see how the study of the bumps on a person's head connects with the health of their bodies.
Well, now that you mention it...
Oh, don't you go worrying yourself about the science, dear boy. It's far too complicated for the likes of you. I've been studying this for years and years. If you can't bring yourself to trust me, then at least trust all that study.
No, no, it's not like that. It's just that Gertrude said you wouldn't be able to help me in the end.
I take it that your wife's mistrust is why I am forced to visit you while she's at the market.
Yes.
Think nothing of it, dear boy. I am met with this kind of prejudice all the time.
But you haven't been able to help me.
Sadly, that's true. But if your wife hadn't kept you from coming to see me until it was too late, I could have. What's the matter, Gustav? A limp isn't so bad. I see you've been making some changes around here since last I visited. When did that bookshelf turn up? I never took you for a reading man. Mystical remedies, charms and curses, curse breaking. You aren't looking for a magical cure, are you? Because while I can't guarantee it will work, I just happen to...
No, no, nothing like that. I'm looking for something that can deal with a witch.
A witch?
Yes, a witch. I want to keep one out of this house.
But, my dear boy, that's as easy as child's play.
It is?
Of course it is. I have some charms that are guaranteed effective at keeping any and every witch away. Why, I wear one myself, see?
How does it work?
I simply hang it around my neck like so. Witches are renowned for their jealousy towards those who work for the public good. You know, just like doctors, really. Only witches are far more dangerous.
And this will really keep one out?
Oh, indubitably. Have you ever seen a witch in my company?
Why, no.
Exactly. They don't come near me. And do you know why, my boy?
The charm?
That's right. The charm. But sadly, I only have a handful of them left, and to spare one, well, I need all the protection I can get just for myself.
No, please. This is an emergency. I have no protection at all. My wife and child need protection, and all my reading has turned up nothing. Please, I'm running out of time. I just have to find a way to repel witches. I just have to.
Well, I can see that you are desperate. I'll tell you what. How much were you going to pay me for your visit today?
One leg of venison.
That's right, one leg. On thinking it over, I might be able to part with one of these trinkets. I mean, very powerful protective amulets for, say, the entire animal.
The entire deer?
I'm risking a lot by parting with one of these charms, you know. With so many envious witches paying for my blood, I really can't afford to part with it for anything less.
All right, all right. To be safe from the witch will make it worth the price. The deer is yours.
A pleasure doing business with you. Here's the charm.
Ah! Push! That's it, dear!
Who are you calling dear, you, my uppity old bat?
Ah! I've had all I can stand. I'll be outside.
Take one step towards that door and you're as good as dead. I am not going through this alone.
Ah! Don't worry, Gustav, dear. She doesn't know what she's saying.
Do too. Ah!
Some girls are just like this going through labor. She probably won't even remember after the baby arrives.
That's all well and good for her. What about me? I'll remember.
That's it! That's wonderful, dear! I can see the head now!
As for you, you'll be able to show some sympathy for what your wife's going through now. Get out of the way! The baby's nearly here!
That's it! One last big push and...
Go to your mama.
She's beautiful. Just beautiful. Look, Gustav, what will we name her?
How about your grandmother's name? Rapunzel.
Rapunzel. That's a beautiful name. Hello, Rapunzel. Hello, my little girl. Welcome to your family. I've got something very special for you.
She's wonderful, Gertrude. Just wonderful.
Here you are, little Rapunzel. It's a little gold chain with a heart on it. It belonged to my grandmother. I'm going to fasten it around your ankle now. There you are.
It's beautiful, darling.
Protection amulet. It's supposed to keep witches away.
That's just an acorn and a piece of string. I hope you didn't pay very much for it. You certainly haven't gotten any smarter in the month since I saw you last. And from your wife's expression, I'm willing to bet you never told her about our little deal.
Gustav, what is she talking about?
Oh, look at your face. I hate to be the one to tell you this, my dear, but your husband has been hiding things from you. Remember that broken leg he's been recovering from? He got it while trespassing on my property.
No! Gustav, how could you have been so stupid?
Oh, yes. I'm hoping the stupidity isn't hereditary, though. You see, I made a deal with your husband. I would spare his life and let him return to you on condition that when your baby was born, I would take her off your hands.
No! Not my baby! Not Rapunzel!
No! You monster!
No, I won't let you. I'll...
Little girl, so, so pretty. You're going to come to live with me. Oh, yes, you are. And we're going to be very, very happy. And I'm going to be so much better as a parent than they ever would have been. I'm going to train you to be a healer. And starting right now, I'll prove how much better than them I am. I'm not even going to kill them. How's that, eh? That's right. I'm not even going to kill them. No, I'm not. Dissipate!
I'll kill you if you try to.
She's gone! My baby, she's gone! My baby! No! Gertrude! Gertrude! Oh, no! Gertrude, wake up! Wake up! Please!
Man that is born of woman has but a short time to live, and is full of misery. He comes up and is cut down like a flower. He flees as it were a shadow, and never continues in one stay. I am the resurrection and the life, says the Lord. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. In your mercy, dear Lord, grant Gertrude, beloved wife of Gustav, eternal rest, and raise her with your saints on the last day. In your divine promises, we trust. Amen.
Come on, Gustav, it's going to be all right.
She's gone. My Gertrude is gone, and the witch has taken our daughter.
But what can anyone do? What can little people like us do? The witch would kill 100 of us, and it would make no difference.
She was your sister.
Aye, and she starved herself to death out of grief. There's no accounting for the miseries of this world, Gustav, and little enough comfort to be found for those who remain behind when some of us are taken. Don't waste what's left of your time on Earth trying to figure out the whys of it all. I'll be waiting for you by the donkey.
But I know the reason why. I know the reason why I am powerless to do anything about it. It was that witch. It was her. And it was me. And my own cowardice. I should have let her kill me. I should have had more courage. I should have...
Well, let's clear out of the way. To business, Gustav. I have a proposition for you.
You! I'm going to...
Way. I've got good news for you, Buster. I have it your way. Now, while I have your frozen attention, it has occurred to me that I may have been a bit premature in picking the child up so soon. I perhaps should have waited until it could, feed and clean itself, maybe even a little longer. Still, hindsight is 20/20, as they say. And the way she cries, I've taken to sticking rags in her mouth just to get a little peace. But now that your wife is dead, I think there's a solution here for both of us. You want your daughter, and I want an apprentice. Surely you can see it. The simple solution is for the two of us to get hitched. What else are you going to do? Curl up and die of grief? End it all? Try to fight me? You haven't the brains. No! Marry me and let bygones be bygones. The girl gets her father back. I stop having to clean up after her. You have no idea how she smells. And everybody's happy. Oh, sorry. I forgot. Let me unfreeze your mouth just a little, though. No need to take unnecessary chances, is there? Mobilize!
You stole my daughter. The grief of it killed my wife,
And now, with her barely in the ground, you have the arrogance to look me in the face and ask me to marry you so I can look after my own daughter on your behalf? Is that it?
Pretty much. What do you say?
I, Gustav, son of Lars, say this. I swear, here and now, on the grave of my beloved Gertrude, to dedicate my life to hunting you down and recovering my daughter. I promise that I will never let a day go by where I do not attempt to kill you for what you have done to me and to my family. If it takes the rest of my life, if I have to spend every last cent, if I have to solicit the aid of the king himself, if, in the end, all I have available to me are my bare hands, I will hunt you down and kill you. I will kill you. Do you hear me? I will kill you.
Well, it was just a thought. I could have used the help. She doesn't half stink, lying there in her own filth. But I'll figure it out. Mothers always do, I'm told. Ta-da!
No!
Gustav, wait, you can't just walk up and demand to see the king.
Why not? He is my king. He collects taxes from me. He expects me to spill my blood on his behalf if he sounds a general call to arms for defense of his realm. Why shouldn't I have the right to call on his aid? It's part of the social contract, after all.
Where'd you learn a phrase like that anyway? Gustav, stop. Just stop. Firstly, it doesn't work that way. You're just a little person. Your small concerns don't rate any notice in the king's business.
My small concerns? She was your sister who died. She's your niece who is missing. Just how small do you think they are?
I know. These issues are so important to us. They make up our entire world. But they are nothing to a king whose world is infinitely larger.
All right then. Just leave.
What? No, Gustav, don't be like this.
No one else in the village is willing to help. Everyone is afraid of the witch. I get it. I would have been afraid myself if it had been one of our neighbors who this had happened to. But it is not one of our neighbors. It is me. It is our family. We have to try. Don't you see?
All right. I came out to the castle with you, didn't I? I'm here, and I'm coming with you the rest of the way. It's just I don't want you to get your hopes up, is all.
Come on. I'll ask someone where the Chancellor's office is. Here, excuse me. Do you know where the Chancellor's office is by chance?
Sure. You won't be getting much out of here today.
What? Why not?
Yeah, I think the castle court is this full of people all the time. Dignitaries are pouring in to pay their respects to the new heir. Oh, sure you knew. The Queen gave birth to a bouncing baby boy this morning. They've named him France. He's sure to grow up tall and handsome if he takes after his mother.
And if he takes after his father?
Then probably less so. Anyway, Chancellor's office is over that way.
Thank you. A royal baby yet? Could this day get any more complicated? Your Honor, is anyone here? Only the lady in the doorway said...
Yes, come in. I haven't got all day.
Thank you, Your Honor. My brother-in-law and I wish to...
Oh, peasants. Hangings are down the hall to your left.
They're not here to watch a hanging.
Oh, I can see that. I assumed you were here to be hung.
What? No!
Really? What does someone like you have to live for? Don't answer that. It was purely rhetorical.
I forgive you, rhetorical, you puffed up little.
Hans, no. Lady Chancellor, we were told that you keep the appointment book for the king.
Yes.
Well, I would like to make an appointment, please.
Oh, really? Oh, it must be Thursday. Gerhard is in on a Thursday. Oh, he really does like to have his little jokes. Very funny. Very funny indeed. Now, if you don't mind, I have got work to do.
But, Your Honour...
No, now, really, the joke was very good, but I have work to do.
It is not a joke, Your Honour. My brother-in-law would like an appointment to see the king.
Yes, urgently.
Truly? Well, I never... You do realise you will need to make yourselves considerably more presentable before you will ever be allowed to see the king.
These are my best clothes.
Those are his only clothes.
Yes. Yes, thank you. I am downwind enough to detect that on my own.
Please, I must see the king. A witch has stolen my daughter, and I need his aid to get her back.
Yes, yes, I'm sure it's very urgent, but what did you say?
A witch has taken my daughter, and I need the king's help to get her back.
Preposterous! There is no such thing as witches. Are you sure Gerhard didn't send you?
I don't know anyone named Gerhard, madam. I promise you, I just want to get my daughter back.
Well, we all want something. What did you say your name was?
Gustav.
We all want something, Gustav, and everyone wants something from the king. And it's my job to make sure only the deserving ones get it.
And just who qualifies as deserving in your opinion, Your Honour? The well-dressed peacocks gathered outside?
Well, presentation is important. And a well-dressed gentleman does make a positive first impression. One which you two are clearly not versed in doing.
I see. And then it would also be helpful if the petitioner had a sizable purse?
Yes. Now you see it. A man of means has clearly had education, is responsible and frugal, and far less likely to waste the king's time than a man from more humble circumstances.
And the merits of the case itself?
Oh, I take my duties very seriously, of course. The king has entrusted me with the task of weighing each issue brought before me. I judge every case on its merits. I'm required to by royal decree. But I do have to be careful to ensure the king's time isn't wasted.
And the kidnapping of a newborn baby girl, would this count as a case with merit?
Oh, naturally. That would be a very serious matter.
Good. Then you'll grant us an audience with the king.
Of course. Over something so serious, I'm bound to. Once we get all the details in place. Now, who is your sponsor?
I beg your pardon?
Your sponsor? You know, the person in the king's court who is willing to attest to your veracity.
I am a very honest man. My word is my bond.
Yes, but your word counts for very little in a setting where you are basically unknown.
Well, everyone in the village knows me. They will attest to my honesty.
Oh, dear. Dear, dear, dear.
I don't understand.
The Chancellor is suggesting that you don't have any important connections here at the court.
Well, now, I wouldn't want to suggest that, but...
It's all right. I'm beginning to get the picture regarding how things work around here. And before you ask about administration fees, overheads, tariffs, and anything else, Gustav spent the last of his money just to get here.
Oh?
And I don't have any money either.
Oh. No money. Poorly presented. No court sponsor. I'm not sure there's a lot I can do for you.
So you won't help me see the king?
Oh, I didn't say that.
Really?
Really. I can fit you in for an appointment.
Yes?
At, 9 a.m. on the 18th of August.
That's only 2 days away.
In 2 years' time.
I'm sorry, Gustav. I tried to warn you.
I feel ill. I dared to let myself hope. I thought, if I could just get a hearing from the king.
I know. It wasn't to be.
There must be something I can do.
Like what?
I don't know. Find a sponsor, perhaps. Raise some money for a bribe.
Shh! Be careful what you say openly. We're still in the courtyard.
Maybe even break into the king's chambers to see him directly.
What did I just say? Are you crazy? Don't even think about doing something like that. You're beginning to sound self-destructive.
Self-destructive? Perhaps. Or maybe it's just another word for desperate.
Look, Gustav, you can't start thinking like this.
Then what would you have me do? A hunter, crippled in one leg, even with the help of a fisherman like yourself, doesn't have what it takes to confront a witch. I need an army. The villagers are sympathetic, but afraid and won't come to my aid. The king is the only one who commands the power to take her on. And if I stop trying, I really will die.
I'm sorry, Gustav. What you're talking about is madness. They'll lock you up in a dungeon so deep you'll never see daylight again. And then they'll throw away the key, if they don't execute you for treason first. There is no way this ends well for you, and I can't be a part of it.
Yes, I know. You have a wife and little ones of your own. I can't put them at risk by asking you to help me with what has to come next.
You're decided then?
Yes. I must see the king. I will try to get into his chambers tonight.
Insanity! But if I can't dissuade you from this madness, I will at least wish you luck.
Thank you, Hans. And goodbye.
You have been listening to a retelling of the Brothers Grimm story, Rapunzel, Episode 2, Kidnapping, performed by the Aubrey Wodonga Theatre Company Play Reading Group. Scripts by Philip Craig Robotham, starring, in order of appearance, the voice talents of Mick McGlone as the narrator, the witch's garden statue, soldier, and the wolf. Justin Bryce as Gustav the Hunter. Adam Rowland as Hans, a soldier, Prince Franz. Georgina Crutch as Gertrude and the Present Woman. Ken Pullen as the other witch's statue, the charlatan, and the king. Jenny Cartledge as the witch Esmeralda, the herald, the maid, the grandmother, and Princess Hildy. Kaz Hicks as the midwife, the chancellor, the doctor, and Rapunzel. Caitlin Price as the baby. Ash Justin as the castle guard, the officer, Herman and the cat. Jack Robotham as the little boy. Emily Barnes as Mario. Alice Barnes as Gertie. Funeral Crowd, Castle Crowd and Wolfpack were performed by the company.